When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. This is the word of the Lord. What verse there is kind of out of place when you heard that read to you? It's a historical description, right? You're having something reflected in terms of what the shepherds heard, what they saw, been reported back, how things unfolded. But in the middle of this text that was just read, there's just this one verse that doesn't just follow neatly a historical reporting, so to speak. It's just inserted in there. Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. It's fascinating. You'll find these verses throughout the Bible at times in which there's something really important, I think, to be said that we often jump past it to get to kind of how the story is unfolding. And I doubt that the way in which this appeared was that the shepherds were there and Mary was sitting off kind of in the corner watching things, and one shepherd said to another, "Hey, she's kind of quiet over there." And they look at Mary and say, "Hey, what are you doing?" "Well, I am treasuring and pondering things in my heart right now." No, odds are the writer of the Gospel of Luke, the physician, with his interviews throughout the putting together his own understanding of the gospel, the way in which it unfolded. All the gospels are remarkable in the way in which they are reporting so many things historically, but only in the Gospel of Luke do we have the infancy narratives in this way. They're unique to Luke, and odds are he had an interview with one of the disciples, had an interview maybe even with Mary. And she said, "You know what? In that scene, I was stunned. As things were unfolding, I was just watching it and just treasuring it and pondering them in my heart." And when Luke is writing his gospel, putting it down, you know, some 50 or 60 AD, much after the fact, he made sure that he put that verse there. He made sure that he had Mary's testimony in the midst of just the shepherd's reporting. And it's a subjective thing, isn't it? It's a subjective verse. But it was really important for Mary to sit there and to see what was unfolding for her. And what was unfolding for her? I mean, she's had a remarkable 9 months, right? In which she has been told by Gabriel of what was going to happen. The circumstances surrounding it were not according to her plan, certainly not according to the way things should unfold. And the one that was going to be born to her was to be a savior, a king from David's line. And here, on this night in which she had given birth, a night when you do not want visitors after you've given birth, right? Shepherds show up and said, "You know what? Here's what we heard." Just ordinary shepherds in a field. And they told them everything that had been said. And Mary sat there and treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. Treasuring these things. Been thinking a lot about this verse this week, just treasuring things that are things that are beyond your control. Treasuring things that are, in fact, things given to us only, it can only be explained by the hand of grace, can only be explained by something we didn't deserve, that can only be explained by something that is a surprise that fills us with joy that we could not have done for ourselves. And truthfully, this isn't, as I talked about on Christmas Eve, an idyllic moment in which this is just kind of an ordinary, non-momentous thing. But she had no idea what would unfold on the road ahead for her son. But in this moment, the only thing that she knew was everything had unfolded as had been told her. And as shepherds came to announce the story to her, and she was looking at her child, her husband close by, in the midst of circumstances that were less than ideal, poor, not really, had to find room to pull this off, and yet she could still, in this moment, find time to ponder and to treasure what was unfolding. I think this is important for us in the midst of our lives, is that we can, in moments that are less than ideal, in times that are unfolding not according to our own choosing and according to our own plans, in ways in which we think there's been chaos or frustration, there is this verse that says for us, God is at work in ways that we often don't see, but if we have the time to stop and to treasure them and to ponder them in our hearts, it will, in fact, enable us to see things from a different light, from a different angle, to proceed in a different way as we go forward in this life, not always looking behind, for Paul says we should forget what's behind, but press on towards what is ahead. But doing so as we have simply taken a moment that's been given to us and treasuring it, loving it, being thankful for it, not knowing where it will lead or how it will unfold or what part it might play on the next steps that we take, but just to treasure the grace that's been given. And if you're anything like me, I don't treasure the grace that's been given to me enough. I don't treasure with joy those things that I don't deserve. And yet I do get these flashes that are exciting. My memory is fading me now as I get older. And I may have written about this in a newsletter article, but I had a moment like this when a number of us, went to college in North Dakota. I know it's no one's dream to go to college in North Dakota, but I went there to wrestle and met just some amazing friends there who are my friends to this day. And we had a couple professors in the New Testament department there. Actually, the religion department. There was no New Testament. There was two Bible teachers, that was it. Dr. Edwards and Dr. Watts. And they played a tremendous role in our lives. Good group of five or six of us who are all either in ministry or in teaching right now, teaching for the church or preaching for the church or working in campus ministry at a school. And one of my friends had booked Dr. Edwards, one of my mentors, for a preaching conference at the University of Mary in Bismarck, North Dakota. It was at the tail end of the West Coast Presbyterian Pastors Conference, which is in Santa Cruz, which I go to every year. And so we made this event where we were going to surprise Dr. Edwards with a visit from his former students and bring Dr. Watts over from Jamestown, North Dakota at the time, for just a memory and a meal, basically. Nothing spectacular, no gifts, but just a fun moment. And so, here I am at what I call Pastor Camp in Santa Cruz. packed, you know, a pair of jeans and some polo shirts, and get on a flight halfway through the conference to Bismarck, North Dakota. Late April. Didn't pack very well. It was terribly cold. And we surprised him in the airport, and then one of our friends, who's now the president of the University of Mary in Bismarck, hosted a meal at his home, in which Dr. Watts and his wife came over, and there was five, six students, and then our professors just around the table. And I can't tell you how many times during that meal I had just had this moment, this kind of treasuring and pondering moment going through my head and my heart. First, for the gratitude of the way in which these people, both friends and professors, had played a tremendous role in my life. I had gone to college, and Dr. Ebert still teases me to this day, and he sat down with me at a table, because this is the way he is. He likes getting to know folks. It was the first month of school. I signed up for religion class because I wanted to, and he told me what I was going to do with my life. I told him, I'm going to design golf courses. He goes, are you serious? Yeah, I am. I'm going to... Why? I don't know. But to this day, of course, that trajectory has gone way off track. I have only designed a course on a video game. That's about it, but not in real life. And the gratitude that I have for the way a small group of people played an important role in my life, in which we were challenging one another, pushing one another, supporting one another, arguing about theology with one another, trying to understand the Bible more clearly, more faithfully, is something that you can never put a price tag on. And the way in which both professors had different gifts, one was more direct at times, I needed to have directness towards me, and another one was softer when I needed to have more grace shown to me. And my friends, we had late night discussions on theology till 3 a.m. at Perkins. That was the finest restaurant in North Dakota, as Perkins. And so here I was around this meal at this table, which was done by an Italian, 7 courses, completely stuffed, but just reminiscing about the grace of God that had been shown to us in our lives. And I remember thinking over and over again, and I called my wife the next day, you know, I just had this moment in which I was just treasuring it. Because treasuring all that had gone before it to get to this moment, and treasuring what I think will be the last time all of us will be around a table. I don't see it unfolding. No one's going to say, do you want to go to Bismarck again? No one's going to say yes. Santa Cruz. Come to Santa Cruz. People are getting older. People are moving on. People are going overseas. And it was just something that I treasured because I know that I was put in a place that could not have been of my own choosing. People were put in my life that I would never have naturally gravitated towards. And yet I saw the grace and the joy and the life that was brought through this experience in college. And now being able to have the phone available or the Skype to call them up and to talk again and just be thankful for what God has done. Just treasured it. Now, everybody else was smart enough to fly out the next day. I flew out 2 days later so I could spend some more time with my friends. It snowed 3.5 feet in the next 36 hours. So I did a lot of shoveling with my friend Leroy the next few days. But it was still couldn't take away what I had treasured from that moment just around a dinner table. And I thought about that experience this week looking at this verse. She treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. There's the story building up, and then just this editorial comment. Mary, in the moment, was treasuring something. And let's get back to the story and see how it unfolds. Friends, your lives are like this. There is the pre-story going all along, and right now I know there's a story that's unfolding quickly, and there's going to be one as you go ahead on the choices that you make and where you're heading. But the more important thing isn't how all the pieces of the puzzle are fitting together. It's the one who's putting it there. The more important thing is not how it's all going to work out in the end, but the fact that there is one who, in fact, promises you that he will work it out in the end. And that there may be here right now, in these moments of your life, things that you should just stop and treasure. Because there are gifts of grace, the gifts of joy, and you just ponder the fact that who am I to deserve anything, and yet I am being shown grace. I think this is a great verse. So glad Luke put it in there on behalf of Mary. And it's just a pause for us in this Christmas season to remember that the gospel is not something that we possess as if it's our property. The gospel is an event of the good news of great joy being given to a people. And this event that unfolded of the giving of his son Jesus Christ is something that we either reject or accept. We either try to control or we receive. And we either downplay or we treasure it. And I hope you treasure it. Pondering again the good news of great joy. And look for those moments of grace in your life right now where you can be pondering and treasuring that which you do not deserve, but which he just loves to give, because he is a father who gives good gifts to his children. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your grace, and we thank you for the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Help us to treasure what you give. Help us to ponder, that is to reflect upon and to think about those things that Paul says we should think on. Good things. Whatever things that are good, whatever things that are noble, whatever things that are trustworthy or excellent, that we should be pondering and thinking upon those things. In the midst of the difficulties of life, which you know all too well, in which you know that we are dealing with day in and day out, help us to be people who have faith like Mary, to treasure and to ponder the blessings of a gracious God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please stand.